And welcome everybody to the Future of Professional Wrestling Podcasting, the Body Slam Radio. Of course, my name is Duncan Welker. I am your host. And this week on the Body Slam Radio, we're going to be taking a look at Rocket City Championship Wrestling's last stop event from this past Saturday night. But before we do, I'd like the opportunity to talk about Rocket City Championship Wrestling's Wrestling Con 2 taking place on August 17th, 2019 at Meridianville Middle School. So for those of you who don't know about what Wrestling Con is, it's the biggest independent wrestling event in the South to take place. There's going to be talents from WWE, ECW, WCW, TNA, the bigger indie scene, and so much more. Last year at Wrestling Con, when I went in for the first time, because it was the first event, obviously, I went in earlier, and I wasn't expecting much, you know, like most wrestling fans do. But I walk in there, and I see this huge setup. Like, I see the tables where all the stars are going to be, and the ring is much bigger than it is at the normal-sized RCCW arena. And my head just, like, explodes almost. My wrestling nerd fandom had a nerdgasm, if that's a word. But it was so awesome last year. And this year, I think it's going to be much bigger and better. This year's theme is Rocket City Gets Extreme. Here's what I mean by that. There's going to be a lot of former ECW names. I'm not going to tell you them because word of this highly anticipated wrestling event has traveled so fast that not one person saying it can contain it. I was lucky enough, however, to receive a voicemail from the Rocket City Championship Wrestling staff. So with that in mind, let's take a listen, shall we?
It's Rocket City Championship Wrestling's WrestleCon 2. See former ECW stars Sandman, Raven, Jerry Lynn, the Queen of Extreme, Francine, the Extreme Luchador, Super Crazy, plus all the stars of RCCW August 17th at the Meridianville Middle School. There's a meet and greet from noon to 5. Extreme Q&A at 5. Doors open at 6. The first match at 7. Buy tickets now or at the door. Don't miss WrestleCon 2. Presented by Alt-92.9 and Rocket City Championship Wrestling.
So now that you all are properly informed, I highly suggest you buy your tickets right this minute. And how do you do that, you ask? Well, there are three ways you can buy tickets for Wrestling Con 2. One of them being you can buy them at the door. The second way is buy them online via Brown Paper Tickets. And the third way is at Cosmos Fitness, home of Rocket City Championship Wrestling. August 17th, 2019 is going to be so much fun. It's going to be a great night in independent wrestling in the South. I'm going to be there, and if you guys don't know already, if you keep up with our social medias, I'll plug them later. I have booked an interview with current Southern Heavyweight Champion Charles Zanders. The time is currently still to be determined, but I figure it'll be somewhere around 2-ish or 3:30-ish. So, with all those things considered, let's take a look at RCCW Last Stop from this past Saturday night. So our first match on the card is Fantasy with Dr. Trey Franklin taking on Crystal Fire, the first time I've ever seen her compete in a RCCW ring. And this match is a number one contenders match to determine who will go on to face the New South Women's Champion, I believe. But either way, she's still a female New South wrestling competitor for the first ever RCCW Women's World Heavyweight Championship at Wrestling Con 2. So like I said, this is my first time seeing Crystal Fire in the ring. So let's just see how she does. So Crystal hits a nice drop toe hold, and then she transitions it into a grounded sleeper. That was very nice there. Then Fantasy gets in a leg scissor after she breaks the sleeper, but Crystal is able to force a rope break, And, yeah. Anyways, a little later on in the match, Crystal hits a beautiful spine buster, goes for the cover, but Fantasy is able to kick out of that. Then a little while after that, Dr. Trey Franklin starts interfering on the behalf of Fantasy by slamming Crystal Fire's head into the turnbuckle pad. And then, of course, Trey gets Crystal into the ring. Then, a little while after that, something I noticed here. The ref asks Franklin, after Franklin gets a chair from under the ring, "Why do you need a chair?" And then Franklin replies with, "I'm old." You're really not, but it was funny nonetheless. And Crystal Fire gets on the offensive, hits an apron leg drop, gets Fantasy in the ring, goes for the cover, but Fantasy is able to kick out of that. Then Fantasy gets a octopus hold on the ropes, and believe me, ladies and gentlemen, that looked painful. Now, Crystal Fire is a big girl. When I say a big girl, like, she is a big girl, and believe me, that would stop anyone, in my humble opinion, but that's just me, of course. Anyways, then Crystal hits a twirling slam, or at least that's what it looked like from my perspective, goes for the cover, but Fantasy is able to kick out of that. Then Crystal Fire hits a beautiful bulldog a little while later. She goes for the cover once again, but Fantasy is able to kick out of that. Then Fantasy gets on the offensive. It's a second rope power bomb after she knocks off the punching on the second rope attempt. You know, the thing like where you get someone in the corner and duh, two, three. And so she stopped that. She hits a second rope power bomb. Fantasy goes for the cover, but Crystal is able to kick out of that. Then Fantasy slams Fire's head into the mat, goes for the cover, but Crystal is able to kick out of that. And then in the closing moment of this match, Fantasy hits a sunset flip powerbomb onto Crystal Fire. And like I said earlier, Crystal Fire is a big girl, and believe me, that was no easy feat. But she hits it, she pins Crystal Fire, and she wins the match. And as a result, she will go on to face the New South Women's Champion, I believe, but again, I couldn't hear quite well what the ring announcer was saying, but either way, she will be the other competitor for the RCCW Women's World Heavyweight Championship at WrestlingCon 2. So I gotta say, this match was really kind of okay. I mean, it wasn't good, it wasn't bad, it's just okay. I mean, I think with big people, and believe me, I'm a big person too, so I can say this somewhat. I think with a big person, it's hard to get a lot of momentum going when you're an agile person. I think it's hard to get a lot of movement, but I think for what it was worth, I think the match really was well. First time seeing Crystal Fire, she did really good. She had a couple nice moves along with Fantasy, and yeah, that's really all there is to say about this match. Can't wait to see her at WrestlingCon 2 when she takes on the New South Women's Champion for the Women's World Heavyweight title. So our next segment before the next match had Dr. Trey Franklin coming out to the ring. I mean, he was already out there with Fantasy, but he came into the ring after Crystal Fire left, and he started berating Lutha X's opponent for WrestlingCon 2, CEO and owner of Rock City Championship Wrestling, Barry Kohlhoff. You know, he was saying, "Oh, I can't wait to take over Rocket City and get someone to run the music right," and other stuff. But, you know, Barry kind of had enough of that. He went in, started toying, like, he grabbed the mic and he started toying with Dr. Trey, you know, like, trying to give the mic, then snatch at the back, and then he tried it for one more time. After a little while, and then he shoved him down. And he's like, "You tell your boy Lutha, who was supposed to be here tonight, that I can't wait to see him at WrestlingCon," or something in that area. Now, for those of you asking, where was Lutha X? Because he was scheduled for a match against JL. Lutha X was at the SCI, the Scenic Invitational Tournament, out in Saudi Daisy, Tennessee. And I didn't get to see all the highlights, but however, what I did see I enjoyed. I enjoyed seeing Luther X and a bunch of the other guys and friend of the show, Benjamin Carter. I enjoyed seeing what they did, and eventually I'd like to actually watch the whole thing on independentwrestling.tv. Find me and get me a sponsorship. Anyway, so the match has already been set, Luther versus Barry, obviously. And the special guest referee will be former ECW champion Jerry Lynn. That was announced 2 weeks ago at RCCW Code of Honor. So, we'll see how that match goes. And, yeah. So, our next match is between the FBI, James Brando, and Bugs O'Malley, taking on the team of the Lost Souls. They represent the Bloodline. The Lost Souls are, of course, Chaos and Problem Child. So right away, a hip toss from O'Malley turned into a reversal hip toss by Chaos. And I just gotta say, that looked sweet, seeing a hip toss that was reversed into another hip toss. Like, it was like, hip toss, boom, and then hip toss, boom, back. And it's like, whoa, that's fabulous. I'm doing this on the fly. I don't have like a set script, but, anyways, moving on, Problem Child and Chaos hit the ring, and they hit a beautiful double team maneuver. Chaos goes for the cover, but O'Malley is able to kick out of that. Then the Lost Souls hit another sweet looking double team maneuver. Then a little later on, the FBI gets on the offensive. They hit a good double team maneuver. Then Brando attempts the cover after that, but Chaos is able to kick out of that. Then O'Malley hits the ring. He hits a vertical suplex onto Chaos. Goes for the cover, but Chaos is able to kick out of that. Then James Brando and Bugs O'Malley hit two beautiful double team maneuvers. O'Malley goes for the cover, but Chaos is able to kick out of that. Then O'Malley hits a running knee bulldog combo, something I have seen very often. He goes for the cover, but Chaos is able to kick out of that. Then Chaos tags NPC and he comes in guns blazing, taking out everyone left, right, forward, backward, leftward, rightward, you name it. Anyways, in the closing moments of this match, the Lost Souls hit a beautiful double team maneuver, their tag team finisher, I'd assume. They pin Bugs O'Malley to win the match. So I gotta say, this match was really good. You know, after seeing the Lost Souls compete against the Kane Empire 3 times, I believe, I gotta say it was really good seeing a fresh change of competition. But, you know, I thought it went really well. And, that's really all there is to say about that match. So our next segment of Last Stop saw Charles Zanders come out and address the crowd and get them pumped for Wrestling Con. Speaking of Charles Zanders, if you all don't know already, I have an interview booked with the Southern Heavyweight Champion scheduled for, well, Wrestling Con. I don't have a set time yet. You'll know when I know. And the only reason I say time is just for, like, if anyone passes by and it's like, oh, he's interviewing Charles Zanders, let's listen. Or something like that. So. But anyways, on this night, he was talking about, you know, I don't have any competition. I had to go out and find my own and yada, yada, yada. And so he said, I challenge anyone from any locker room, any promotion to come out here and face me. Because I'm not afraid. But you know who would accept his challenge? Savin Roberts, the new World's Heavyweight Champion. He won it from Nick Tramer at RCCW Code of Honor. And, you know, at first, I think it was going to be kind of like a stare down. But what ended up happening was Savin grabbed the mic. And then Xander tried to snatch it back from him or something like that, I believe. And then Savin got a mic, was like, well, I was going to be nice to you, but now not so much. I'll take your little any locker room, any promotion challenge, and so forth. So as a result of that, it'll be later on in the night, it'll be Charles Zanders, the Southern Heavyweight Champion, taking on Savin Roberts, the RCCW World's Champion. It's a champion versus champion match. And I believe this match will be for the RCCW World's Heavyweight Championship. Don't quote me on that. Wink, wink. But, yeah. So we'll see how that match turns out. So our next match is the Superstars of the Kane Empire taking on Big T and Steve Pleasing. Of course, they are accompanied to the ring by their manager, Bradley Kane, taking on the team of Scrap Iron Lewis and Juggernaut Jeremy Flint. Together, they are Scrap Metal. And, of course, they are the Southern Tag Team Champions and the Australian Tag Team Champions. And this match is for the Southern Tag Team Championships. So right away, early on, Scrap Iron Lewis and Juggernaut Jeremy Flint, Irish Whip, both Steve T, Big T, rather, and Steve Pleasing into each other, and both T and Pleasing fall down to the mat hard. Like, really hard. And then a little later on here in the match, T gets Flint's arm over to Pleasing, and Pleasing just starts snapping it on the rope, and it looks very dangerous on there. And of course, they try, and they do it twice, and then they try a third time, but Scrap Iron Lewis is able to get the arm of Big T, and Juggernaut Jeremy Flint snaps it on the ropes like Steve Pleasing was doing. But even before that, I should have added this, they tried to do it a third time, and what happened was Scrap Iron Lewis got out of the way, and Steve Pleasing accidentally grabbed the arm of Big T, and he started snapping the arm of Big T, and it's pretty funny nonetheless. But then a little later on here in the match, Scrap Iron Lewis locks in a deadly arm submission and then tags Flint in, and then he goes to, and then Flint steps on the hands of Big T. Then T gets on the offensive with a chop block to the leg of Flint, and that sends him down to the canvas, tags in Pleasing, and then they work over the leg of Flint. This, from what I saw, this will, like, the chop block to the leg of Flint will have a effect on how this match turns out. Then a little later on, the Superstars hit a leg split on Flint, then T locks in a leg submission on Flint, takes the knee pad off, and he just starts clubbing the leg of Flint. That hurts. I know it does. And like I said, this will, the leg, chop block that was delivered earlier has an effect in this match. Anyways, moving on here, Pleasing locks in a chicken wing submission on Flint. On the outside, Bradley Kane, of course, is interfering on the behalf of the Superstars while the ref back is turned. Then a little later on here, Flint gets on the offensive. He's fighting back here with a few jabs to the knee of Big T. Flint hits an enziguri on Big T after it looked like he was trying to go for a super kick, but Big T grabbed the leg, and then Flint hit an enziguri. Wow, that looked impressive. But nonetheless, after he hits the enziguri, Flint tags in Scrap Iron Lewis, and he comes in guns blazing, taking out everyone left, right, center, backwards, upwards, downwards, you name it. He's just going out hard. And then in the closing moments of this match, Juggernaut Jeremy Flint looks to hit something. It looks like a springboard maneuver. But before he can, Bradley Kane gets a foreign substance out of his jacket, a white foreign substance, keep in mind, and he puts it and he throws it in the eyes of Juggernaut Jeremy Flint. So Flint is blinded at this point, and Flint inadvertently hits Scrap Iron Lewis, and then the Superstars hit a magic killer onto Scrap Iron Lewis. They toss Flint out of the ring. 1, 2, 3. They pin Scrap Iron Lewis to become five-time Southern Tag Team Champions. So, you know, I gotta say, these last few matches I've reviewed of the Kane Empire, they have been dirty wins, or, you know, when they've won, they've been dirty. I mean, most of it became of the surgical boot of Bradley Kane. And I get it, they're the bad guys, so they're supposed to act dirty, mean, and tough. But really, a foreign powder, a white foreign powder? Like, come on, I feel like you're sending the wrong message there, Bradley Kane. But nonetheless, as a result of that win by the Superstars, their match against the Bloodline, JL, and the Lost Souls has another wrinkle added to the match. And, yeah. So I can't wait to see what happens in that match. But for now, this match was really pretty good. But like I said, dirty win by these superstars here. Next match we got here is Travis Locke of the Kane Empire taking on friend of the show, JL, in a last man standing match. Of course, they have had they have had great matches in the past since JL has came back to Rock City Championship Wrestling. So, will this one be any different? Well, let's find out. Right away, Locke goes after JL, and this has been a trend in their last couple of matches. Either JL goes after Locke or Locke goes after JL, but there is no love lost between the two. I will say that. Then Locke hits a side slam to JL. Then JL later on here gets on the offensive with a hook, a lariat, and a jab. Then hits a Russian leg sweep. Then a leg drop from the springboard, which, wow, very good combo there. Then JL hits a vertical suplex, looks to hit another springboard second rope leg drop. But Locke is able to catch him and hits him with a spin-out power bomb. He does not go for the cover. I was about to say, then goes for the cover. But nonetheless, JL then sends Locke into the ring post. And the ref begins to count because, like I said, this is a last man standing match. Then Locke is able to get up, but JL still on the offensive here. He hits a Hurricane Rana on the floor right in front of me. Because if you've ever been to a Rock City event over the past couple of weeks, over the past month really, you will see me in the corner next to owner and CEO Barry Kohlhoff and the Ace of Belts, Dave Milliken, and his valet, let's just put it like that. But you'll see me over there in the corner. And so JL hits the Hurricane Run, and he hits it right in front of me. Like, Locke is right in front of me down, and I'm thinking, whoa, that looked deadly. And it did. I'm not going to lie. Then a little later on in the match, Locke hits a side slam on the apron, which, ouch, it may not have been a side slam, but it was a side drop. Nonetheless, both Locke and Kane start choking out JL with Locke's own wrist tape. Then JL gets on the offensive, or at least he tries. JL looks to hit a super kick here, but then Travis Locke catches it. And then in the closing moments of this match, JL is handed Bradley Kane's surgical boot by the ref after the ref doesn't know what to do with it. He hits Travis Locke with it. The ref begins to count. Bradley Kane then calls out the superstars at a count of 7, and they hit the ring. And they just start attacking JL, then the Lost Souls hit the ring. They fight off the superstars, but it's not enough. There's no numbers advantage. They're all even, but unfortunately the superstars and Travis Locke came out, on the front of that attack. And they said, this is just a preview of what you're going to see at Wrestling Con. Buy your tickets now. You gotta boost up those ticket sales somehow. But, nonetheless, after that attack, because this is a last man standing match and it is essentially no disqualifications, I assumed, even though there really wasn't a weapon per se, except for the surgical boot, the ref begins to count. Travis Locke wins the match. So the Kane Empire is 2-for-2 on this night. Both dirty wins, keep in mind. And these two matches between, the superstars and Scrap Metal and JL versus Travis Locke, they have just added fuel to the fire that is known as Wrestling Con, and their match, I think, will be awesome. I mean, last year, JL and the Lost Souls, the Bloodline, they competed, with Nick Tramer as well, they competed against the FBI, and in a Sicilian war, and I have a feeling this might just top a Sicilian war. But, who knows? So our next match is Charles Zander, the Southern Heavyweight Champion, taking on Savin Roberts, the RCCW World's Heavyweight Champion, and one half of Omega Virus. In this match, as I would later find out, would be for the RCCW World's Heavyweight Championship. So, if you don't know how Savin Roberts became World Heavyweight Champion, you should do two things. One, go listen to my RCCW Code of Honor review. And two, if you don't want to do that, listen to this. So, Tramer had an open challenge at Code of Honor, and the big man, Savin Roberts, came out, accepted it, and Savin Roberts just absolutely massacred Nick Tramer, like, to the point where Tramer could not get anything going. Like, he tried everything. He tried to throw balls at the wall, but again, it wasn't enough, and he was just squashed like a bug. Everyone in the RCCW arena was shocked. I was shocked. The fans were shocked. I think Barry was shocked, even though he, I think, knew possibly in advance. Wink, wink. But I think it was just a shock because, you know, Savin Roberts is part of the tag team Omega Virus. And I just think him coming out and accepting the challenge was just kind of a, like a whoa, okay, kind of moment. But, however, they will have a rematch at Wrestling Con 2. Tramer versus Roberts 2. But for now, let's see how Charles Zanders does against the big man, Savin Roberts. So right away, Zanders tries a bunch of technical maneuvers. He tries takedowns, going after the leg, and just everything technical that he has in his arsenal. But it's just not fazing Roberts. And he just has a counter for everything, and he's standing his ground. And, you know, yeah. Then after Zanders tries that, he is able to lock Roberts in a sleeper, but Roberts is able to pick him up and slam him down to the canvas. Very brutal slam there. It is a very simple but brutal slam nonetheless. Moving on, Zanders then hits a enziguri, which is able to get Roberts through the middle rope. Then Zanders dives through the middle ropes. Then he dives again, and that sends the big man down to the outside. And it looks like Zanders has a bit of momentum going here. But Zanders looks to hit the ropes and springboard off of him. But Roberts just stops Zanders dead in his tracks and slams him down to the canvas. Roberts then drags Zanders' face through the ropes. And believe me, that looks just so painful. But nonetheless, then Zanders gets on the offensive with a codebreaker. Then he goes up the top for the 450, goes for the cover, and you would think that would put him away. But nope, it would not. Roberts just kicks out with ease. And then in the closing moments of this match, Roberts hits Zanders with a deep six, then pins Zanders to win the match and retain the title. Oh boy, it wasn't as brutal as Tramer versus Roberts, because Zanders kind of looked better in the showing against Roberts. And now I'm not saying Zanders is better than Tramer. Like wrestling-wise, they're both technical wrestlers, and they both are really, really good in technical maneuvers. But I think Zanders has a bit of an edge because he can say, hey, I knocked Savin Roberts down. Meanwhile, you couldn't get anything going. Or at least I would think he would do that. But I think Zanders is just a little more humble than that. But who knows? Okay, so that is it for the show this week. The next stop for not only Rocket City Championship Wrestling, but for the Body Slam Radio is Rocket City Championship Wrestling's Wrestling Con 2. As you heard in the voicemail I was sent by the Rocket City staff, it'll be August 17th at the Meridianville Middle School. Bell times at 7, but I will be there earlier because I have an interview booked with the current Southern Heavyweight Champion, Charles Zanders. I won't know the time yet, but yeah. So, and the only reason I say I won't know the time yet, it's not uploading time, it's recording and interviewing time. Because I don't have, like, a booth there, but, like, I'll probably be out in, like, a hallway or something like I did last year. But, you know, if you just hear me talking to Charles Zanders and you want to come by and listen, by all means, go ahead. You guys will know when I know, And that's it for the show this week. Make sure to follow our social medias. We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Our Instagram is at The Body Slam Radio. Our Twitter is at Body Slam Radio. And our Facebook is The Body Slam Radio under the Pages filter. So, I'm Duncan Walker, and I'll see you guys, hopefully, at Rocket City Championship Wrestling's Wrestling Con 2 on August 17th. But for now, see you guys next time.